to speak before we close that off? Okay, John, did you want to speak to the administration first or have the rebuttal first, or what did you want?
No, I have some questions to the administration after, but I'll make them for the public record.
So the applicants can rebut anything that's been said by those in opposition, please.
First of all, we'd like to thank everyone for coming out. We had the opportunity to sit down with both Paul and Bob this week to discuss the development, answer some questions. At the end of it, we probably agreed to disagree on some items, but thanks nonetheless. It's been a challenging project for us. There's a pile of people that asked if we needed support tonight, if they wanted to come out. There was a pile of people very excited about the development. We asked them if you want to come out. If not, everything's okay. It's been difficult addressing the concerns of individuals on Beaverbrook, individuals on Lanark. The community had a lot of opinions. There were stakeholders we consulted, the church, Academy Biz at the time, the community centers, what have you. And we spent a lot of time and effort on the community open houses, and we received all the feedback. We originally thought our initial plan would be successful. There was overwhelming concerns with the original plan. It was modified to the plan that was presented at the previous committee meeting, and there was overwhelming support. We valued what the community came out and talked about. I'll go through a few of the concerns from some of the individuals who spoke. I won't spend a pile of time talking about, I guess, what the original concept of the bay, except to say that it was proposed at the open house in the community, and there were a number of issues identified with that plan. This particular piece of land is smaller than any other bay on Lanark. And if you look at the strip of land between Wellington Crescent and Taylor, between Beaverbrook and Lanark, you'll note that at every cross street, be it Academy, Kingsway, Grosvenor, Cordon, Fleet, Mathers, no, sorry, Grant, Mathers, Taylor, there's also what you refer to as homes or churches face those streets. So Academy has businesses facing Academy. There are two bays, and there's a row of homes that face Kingsway. Another row of homes that face Kingsway, two bays. This particular piece of land did not allow for a chunk of homes to face Grosvenor. The end result was there'd be backyards facing Grosvenor that doesn't exist anywhere in the neighborhood. We're all probably familiar with the drive from the airport to Ness at Polo Park, Route 90, being exposed to back lanes and the wear and tear that backyards take over time. And at the end of the day, amongst many other concerns, that plan just did not work. So it was modified and widely accepted at other open houses. Traffic has been brought up as a concern, but at the end of the day, whether it was a bay servicing 19 homes or a street, the same amount, the same density exists on the land. And this plan actually acknowledged the fact that half the traffic could go to Beaverbrook and half the traffic could go to Lanark, as opposed to weighting more of the traffic to one side versus the other. Some concepts were brought up about development on Grant between Lanark and Beaverbrook. It's a flatland condo. It's three stories high, and the development does face Grant, so it's quite a different scenario. Bob's comment about straight streets and straight alleys, there is quite a bit of precedent on these two blocks for T intersections, and it's referred in the ACG report. Just down the street, this development itself has a back lane, which you can see right there, that faces Lanark. Every bay that exists on Lanark has both front streets and back lanes facing onto Lanark. This doesn't increase or decrease the amount of lanes or back lanes. In fact, what we've tried to do in this plan is minimize concrete, obviously. The new plan did follow the grid system that exists in River Heights. One of the requirements from the community was that all of the homes have back lanes and front sidewalks. There was no support for front drives and various new types of development that maybe exist in different parts of Winnipeg but do not exist in River Heights. We didn't mean to be trivial about the landscaping enhancements that we're willing to offer, whether it's new landscaping in the form of trees to block headlights for those residents being affected, whether it's compensation, again, I'm not trying to be trivial, but compensation for anything that would reduce or mitigate those lights. We're amenable to, we mentioned we were amenable to it in the last proposal, and it's referred to in the ACG report. The last gentleman who spoke asked about increasing fence heights. Our offer would also be to, I will term it art, but there's examples that we've looked at where, I'm not going to call it a fence, but art would prevent lights affecting properties. Any plan that exists on this piece of land is going to have new roads and back lanes. There's a few concerns about the homes facing Beaverbrook and the homes facing Lanark. Typically, just for the residents to understand, again, not to be, the reason that very few sides of homes don't have a lot of glazing or windows and are designed in a particular way is that it prevents the fire separation, fires from jumping from home to home. You don't have a lot of openings on the side of homes because fire can spread quickly. Both on Lanark and on Beaverbrook, those homes, and I'm referring to the photo here, these homes are facing Lanark. Anybody building here would logically front their homes facing these new streets. You wouldn't build the traditional home with front and back and a wall of stucco and small windows on the side. They would take advantage of the light in the space. Because there are no neighbors for the homes on Beaverbrook and Lanark, they would have the opportunity to build beautiful homes where, as opposed to facing potentially a bathroom, you would most likely be facing a living room, dining room, the fronts, the amenities of the home. Sorry, guys. Where Lanark and Beaverbrook would have, arguably, we hope, quite beautiful homes facing the street. I think you've addressed the concerns of a bus stop. There's been no request for the buses to move through there. Comment by, I think it was Lori, mentioned having lived there for years and extolling the virtues of the neighborhood. We've had countless emails and positive responses from new people wanting to buy homes and enjoy the neighborhood the same way people have for years as well, too. In terms of property values, there's going to be significant investment and significant dollars going to this neighborhood. Beautiful homes are going to be created. It's a very rare scenario where very nice design and money goes into a new residential development and it somehow negatively affects the existing homes that are there. Glazing setting all the time to be front of homes and the sideways of the street, glazing on sides, option 31. In terms of the density of the plan, yes, both plans do address 31 homes, but in addressed in the variance, they're in keeping with the neighborhood. I think it was Enid. I do like the name Lanbrook. We'll see what we can do if it's possible. And last but not least, I just want to thank everybody. It's been a significant effort on our part. There's no malicious intent. We've taken the feedback from the entire community. We've been open to talk to anybody at any time. Through the administration's recommendations, the community open houses, this is what's come forward as a plan that seems to work best on this particular piece of land. We hope to do a very nice job on the development and be very proud of it for years to come. Anything to say?
Anything else?
I have some questions for the administration that were asked about, but I guess one question I do have is snow clearing. Can you tell us what you're going to do? There's not a lot of storage space that I see here. How will you guys be dealing? Well, first of all, I have to ask the administration, is this a private or a public lane?
Public lane.
So we'll be clearing this. We'll be doing the clearing.
Yeah.
Okay. And the back lane, I gather, is that'll be also the city's responsibility then. It's a public. Okay. But just for clarification, you're paying for that?
Till the end of time.
Yeah. You're going to be paying for that road. Any improvements happen on your property, including hydrants, just because it was referenced here, that comes from, there's a report and there's certain criteria, including connecting to the water main and the sewer line, that all will be borne exclusively by the developer. That won't be done, just to clarify.
Yeah, we're well. Yeah, we're well aware.
That's what them. So you have four asks. One asked, which I don't remember what it was. Do you remember the ask?
One second here and I'll find them.
Right, so go for plan A, not plan B, please. Remove the 900, right? the 26, and we'll get the arborist to tell us their opinion on that shortly. And then considering the trees, it's part of the HEG report. I understand that means we don't really have it per se yet, and I think the city should be driving to that, is trying to incentivize developers to keep trees. Presently, right now, I have a huge development where the developer has threatened me to say, if you don't help me, I'm going to level the whole area. And again, he can't, and I don't really have a lot of, well, not direct today. So again, I'll approach that with the planner as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, I do have, I don't want to broadside you, so I want to ask your opinion here before I announce I'm going to be making a recommendation for a change in your plan, and plan B, which is the back lane. Trying to reduce the number of, I guess we'll call it light points that are going out. So two things. One is block 3 and block 4, which are on the west side of the property. What my intent is the back lane, the public lane that runs right through the property, is turn it so it pops out Grosvenor. So it runs parallel, so we have that linear line again. And then taking block 3 and block 4 and reorientate those lots so they are actually lots on Lindsay, not side lots. Is that horrific for you, or do you have any comments on that proposal that I'm looking at?
Yeah, I think there'd be other solutions that would make. This is why that we didn't feel that worked. It was one of the things we considered. It ends up being double the concrete needed to service the same purpose. If you're to look at between block 3 and block 4, if you consider, say, roughly lots 1, 2, and 3 on each block, right now those six homes are serviced by, assuming the lots are 40 feet in width, by about 120 feet of back lane. If you flip that plan over, you need to double the amount of back lane.
Right.
So it takes away both land, and it adds significant expanse in back lane, and it also adds, at some point, maintenance costs for the city of Winnipeg for the end of time. In this particular case, it's double the road that you need to do the same purpose.
How do you get to double? Sorry, because I say
can I pop up?
We're reducing half the back lane or to whatever percentage and then turning it. So you don't have to build that other part.
So are you proposing that
somewhere in there?
This back lane here.
Yeah, turns.
Goes this way?
No, it goes this way and down.
It goes this way?
And down. One way is fine. But I'm not sure how that works for your development. I was considering running it straight through.
Like this.
Right up, yeah.
Okay, so if you extend the lane from here to here,
right.
These lots are approximately 120 feet down.
Right.
So that is 120 plus 20 plus 120 is 260 feet. So that's your proposal, or arguably an option, 260
right.
feet of that lane. This back lane right now is 40 plus 40, depending on the line, would be half of this, 80, 100. So this one back lane now, in 100 feet, does the job on the back lane, and it would be 260 feet.
Yeah.
So
what happens if we just, and I'll have to talk to the administration about this, if we curve it just down 3, so down the back lane, I'm very uneasy about where that back lane comes out of, if not both sides, but definitely I am concerned about how close it is to the intersection. So if you turned it just there, and not going up, just went down, just out to Grosvenor. No, so down the back lane, now go north, or south, yes.
But then those...
Then these lots don't have back lanes.
Right.
And
that's why.
Drives, and the intention of this design is that all the lots have back lanes.
Yeah. No. I still like my other ideas, still, so I'll look into that a bit. I just wanted your opinion. I'll ask the administration their opinion on that one as well. Yeah, go ahead.
Could you
get through the mic. It's on recording. Yeah, sorry about that.
The cost of modifying that back lane, we would propose other solutions. And if there are, the expense of doing that, the dollars involved, there would be, I assume, other solutions. Are you concerned for the residents facing it, or as a plan?
For a number of reasons, but yeah, residents facing it. I'm concerned about the closeness of the intersection. I believe a number of reasons. So I guess my question to you now is, considering that I am considering this, would you prefer I lay this over? How do we do that? And do that and look at other solutions that you face?
Or it might be better to do that than start changing.
But that's what I want to ask
you
at this point in the night.
If give me a minute.
Change something major, yeah, take
talk
about
yourself.
Minute.
Yeah, talk about yourself.
The issue here is that if we start rejigging the plan, there'll be another group of individuals concerned about modifying it. So we've jiggled this thing around a pile of times. We've moved and played with it. We've asked everybody in the community. We've looked at, if you can take our word for it, a pile of different plans, endless plans. And we were familiar with what you're proposing. And at the end of the day, you're feeding a... one of the considerations was parking for the church in front of the street. If the back lane pokes through Grosvenor, that limited, and they were one of the stakeholders that you know we spoke with back in the day. They were an interested group that said, okay, at least at the very least maintain the parking for us here. Moving a back lane changes that. It's double the infrastructure. We'd really like to get something done here today, and the reason for that is this. If things were to work out today, and move through the process. We had promised the community that we would make this happen as quickly as we could in a timely manner. There is a possibility, again, if recommended and it makes its way through the process, that potentially services could be in this fall. This winter would allow people to design and line up contractors, buildings, what have you. Spring construction, being able to limit the size of development. If we lay this over, that definitely blows that deadline. We're looking at next year again. It pushes things back quite dramatically for us.
About 2 weeks.
Would there be other?
We actually have a meeting in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, so you're
because we have
July
it's an early
habits.
Meeting in July.
So oh, before the SBC and EPC meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it all happens.
Or no, it's
July 8th.
July. Oh, it's not in 2 weeks. It's council. It's 2 weeks after. July 8th is the next meeting. Sorry.
So and
the big council is July 15th.
So right, July 15th.
Would it get there?
Well, so it's supposed to
find it. Would get to property committee?
Oh, no, it wouldn't. Okay, so we're getting advised that if we do delay it today, it will probably hit the table in September for council, right?
That's-ish.
But
you
I'm
know,
not going to make those comments because the mayor's office
the
sets
mayor
the
sets
agenda
it.
For standing.
We can try to get it done sooner, but we can't guarantee it. A normal process would probably be September. You're right.
What would be your, I mean, I guess, what could we do to get this done today to work or compensate to address your concerns with this plan?
I appreciate it. That's what I'm trying to do today.
Let us know.
And I warned we have this point. I am not that enthused about the orientation of Block 3 and Block 4. I believe it should be more oriented towards the Beaverbrook. Because I don't want to be looking in someone's side house.
And again,
you can't do that. The back lane.
The back lane. Yeah. To service these two blocks, there's no way to move this back lane to service so that every home has back lane access and front street access.
No, not just Block 3 and Block 4. You should have. Quick calculation should have the lot size to do pretty well the same number of lots, just reorienting this way.
And doubling the size of the back lane.
Well, you got the that's your issue, right? That's a costly issue. That
well,
will
be the city's issue as well, maintaining it.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah.
Right. We'll use your tax revenue to do that. Yeah.
So. That's what you're asking for, that back lane to go straight through?
Well, I asked your opinion, and you said we'd really like to get it done today. and I'm saying how much do you want to get done today? Do if I go with this back lane model and reorientate those lots, is that more important than having it delayed where you can show me some better options or show the committee better options? It's your choice.
Can we have another minute?
Yeah.
Maybe you should ask the staff. Do you know what you're doing with this?
No, well, I guess as I decide.
Why don't you ask your questions of the staff, too, then?
As you take a little moment, I'm just going to break off and ask the administration some questions anyways. Regarding and this is my question to the arborist, the idea of reducing, well, I guess the first question was, they proposed that the private owners could take care of these trees in some fashion. I didn't understand what that meant.
Well, that would mean a caveat on those properties, but with keeping those on private properties, we have no guarantee that those trees would be retained.
Okay, and that's the bottom line. Okay.
Yeah.
Secondly, the 30 feet versus the 30 feet, which would be the boulevard, really span. And I'll tell people later on what we intend to do to this park. They say 26.
Mm-hmm.
What's your position on that?
I would still recommend the 30 feet. What's happening in Ryan did a good job of showing some pictures in that, but really there will be roots right in through that grassed area, through that turfed area. If we get those trees, we would still lose others because of the road construction.
Right.
And even on the pictures, there are a couple that would still be lost, even though they aren't removed specifically where the street and the lane is going in, they would still be lost because of the excavation that would have to take place for the construction.
So you're staying with me?
I'd stick with the 30. That's okay. My recommendation.
And I'm not considering moving the 900 square feet from that cluster of mm-hmm. oaks up there. So that ask is okay. Green space. The administration as well. Can you comment on the concept of the fence height? I think there's another option there. There's probably a little more other options. But the request was to help reduce some of the glaring and the lights to put up large fences. I'm not sure how that would work.
Well, it would be a variance application. Right now, the maximum height for a fence in a front yard is 4 feet. So,
but these are the side yards, wouldn't they?
I think the way I understood it is the folks on Lanark and Beaverbrook that were asking to have fences in their front yards higher than 4 feet to block headlight glare from the streets. That's how I interpreted what they were saying.
So they're going to put 4 feet fence line all the way down Lanark and Beaverbrook on both sides? That's the plan?
If you had a different interpretation, it was people on Lanark and Beaverbrook who were at the end of a T intersection that would have headlights, you know, shining towards their front window.
Got that.
Were asking if they could put a fence in their yard higher than 4 feet
high. On the other side.
On the other side, on their properties, not on the developer's property, but on their properies. To block headlight glare.
So what we're talking about is having neighbors on Lanark and Beaverbrook put up 6-foot fences in front of their property?
Yes.
And right now, the president can put up a 4-foot fence.
That's correct.
Would that be part of this application, or would that?
No, that would be separate application.
They'd have to come aside, right?
They'd have to come forward with variance applications for fences.
Right. Okay. So that can't be. But that's, so it can be done, though.
They could apply for a variance.
That's what I think it's important to know. The other question, which raised up the question about the orientation of the houses, which was a good point made, and that's why I'm recommending here turning it. Does the administration have any concerns about the side of the houses facing Beaverbrook? We do these at times, and we for glare or whatever, is there any restrictions for what they can do on the side? Like, for example, could they have it all glass on Lanark's side and the side of the house? Is there anything we do with windows or privacy or anything like that that's considered on this property? Because you usually put a bathroom window on the side of your property.
on your side, not in facing the front of your house. So just generally that's what you would build unless you had, but this house seemed to be turned around wrong. So is there anything we have to deal with that issue about what goes on, the window placement, all that kind of stuff on the side?
Typically, no, we don't have any restrictions on that.
Is there the option as well for the developer, or is there any requirement with the developer right now, and I think they even mentioned it, was looking at some type of portal when you come into the development, having some type of light break there. So when cars start turning, the lights are blocked by either art or a berm or trees, more trees. Is that anywhere in our report? I didn't see it, but. It is, eh?
Yeah, there's a comment that we offered compensation in the previous committee meeting, and it is in Mr. Robinson's ACG report.
Okay, we'll just double check that.
Public service report.
The screening and the landscaping was to be on the residence property, not the development.
Well, yeah, we're looking at the blockage on your way out. That's what we're just trying to figure out. If there's any criteria.
Not on private property.
So when they're driving out, it is what it is. It's just straight out. There's nothing to put on the sides of Buffalo or whatever.
We don't have a condition in the report requiring the landscaping. The developer has offered
to provide that, and a condition could be included.
On someone else's on private property. I mean, if he offers us up to do something,
right? But we can't.
But for us to put a condition on someone else's private property is
right.
Something that we can't do.
What about the public right of way? Is there any with the street, the lane going through? Do we now have X meters beside for snow storage and blah blah blah? The right of way part.
We could do that.
Could they have how much? How far from the side yard? From the lane, it's 10 feet from both sides, is that it, or?
Yeah, it's a wall.
Something like that, right?
Basically 4 foot.
4 feet, yeah. Okay.
The landscaping on private property. I do recall one application that I handled about 6 or 7 years ago where there was a condition put on by the community committee requiring that landscaping be provided for the exact same situation to screen headlight glare on private property. It was a condition of approval.
We could do that, and that would solve the problem if we moved that lanes around.
No.
No?
Well, maybe not, but you can decide that.
Well, okay. Where are we at, John?
Back to you guys.
We would love to find a solution in any way, shape, or form to compensate homeowners who feel they would be, and we're not trying to be trivial here, in any mechanism the city has. We are happy to, you know, take X amount of dollars per lot. You guys can hold it in a reserve fund. We can contribute it to whatever it needs to be, and that can be distributed by the city. If you, would take our word that we will publicly state that we will allot X amount of dollars, whatever you think is reasonable, Council Orlico, to mitigate. There are great landscaping solutions in terms of, trees, and I'm not referring to a fence as art, but there are very unique pieces on front lawns that are not fences, that are over 4 feet high, that could easily screen or mitigate light. The crazy expense of doubling that roadway. I honestly believe that there's a better solution for it here, and I don't know what you guys can ask us to do, but we're willing to do anything not to have to double, go to 280 feet of concrete versus 120. This is a more elegant solution. We understand there are T intersections on the street, and we're willing to compensate anybody, do anything we need to do, but the other option, is significant expense.
Okay. Anything else, Joe?
No. Yeah. Probably over.
Anything further with them, or?
Is there a number? Is there a mechanism at the city that can guarantee that homeowners who are affected have recourse options? Can we guarantee in the development agreement a deposit that can be managed and distributed by the city to compensate homeowners as part of our development agreement?
If we choose to go that way.
If you were to choose to go that way.
So you want me to call my hand now on this one? Okay.
Do you want to keep delegations open or are you finished?
Well, I guess I can close. Yeah, no, I can close delegations. Yeah, okay. I'm done with this right now. I've heard your opinion. Thank you very much.